The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sunday morning, and you're here again listening to We the People Radio at KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media, Shasta Redding. Your hosts are the same and never change, Elizabeth Woodward and Aaron Ryan, and the music fabuloso, Bob Martin. We're going to talk about fish today. You think fish problems are only on the West Coast? Think again.
Don't forget Bill, our assistant, who lives in the outer room. We text him.
You know, it amazes me. It amazes me how late we slide into these seats. We get later and later and later. We go on the air at 8:05, and we're all unlocking the front door at 8. I mean, it just blows my mind.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's pretty scary when our guest this morning, Chris McCafferty, calls, and it's like
he's ready to go on
like
the air.
It's like 10 till. He goes, I called the studio, no one's there. It's like, we're racing each other up Pine Street right now. It's just part of our ritual.
Yeah, finely tuned.
You know, if they ever unsynchronize those lights on Pine Street, we're going to miss our own program.
Oh. Oh, yeah, we better be careful of
that. I know. We get 21 lights.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
So we're going to have... just a little heads up, in a couple of weeks we're going to have a show. We're going to go back to Project Taken. You guys probably remember Cameron Gamble from Project Taken, and he's got an incredible military background, and he's created a program for folks and families to stay safe and avoid abduction and, you know, creepy things like that. And so a few of us attended one of his workshops yesterday, and so we're going to get... Cameron and some of the other participants in the class, as well as the actors that participated in the whole project.
They were really real, too.
Yeah.
They were really real. Did he tell you, too, that he got in trouble over there at the college?
No.
Oh, yeah. They're going to do the training over there at the college, and they use weapons that look totally real.
But they were plastic.
Yeah. But no, you know, no orange tips or anything. They make them look really real. They were stocking, you know, they wear, you know, nylons over their face.
Let me just say, don't do this at home.
What?
The plastic.
Wear nylons over your head?
Nope.
Why? Does it make shave Dan's beard when you make it more than nylons over
his head? No. Taking the orange tips off and making it look real.
Oh, for heaven's sakes. What is this, a safety moment?
I know. I just had to say
do whatever you want. It's your own house.
Now, the program you're talking about... ladies, is going to air next Sunday, I believe. Is that
it
correct?
Is going to air next Sunday because we're going to do it on Tuesday. And so after Thanksgiving, we'll have those guys on. But, yeah, we talked about the program. Cameron trains Navy SEALs in the SEER program. And he thought, you know what? This would be a great thing for missionaries. That was kind of the first idea because they're going overseas and they're, you know, completely look like victims because they don't fit in. And so he teaches you the stuff to look for and what to do. And they put you in these really realistic scenarios. And you don't have to do that part if you don't want to, but it sure is fun. And, you know, you can see if you can, you know, save your fellow participants or if you're going to be the knucklehead who gets everybody captured. But anyway, it's a lot of fun. You learn quite a bit. And really, you know, people think, well, I'm never going to get kidnapped. You would not believe the statistics.
Yeah.
Tune in next week and we'll have the latest and greatest
on
the stats. But it's a blast.
Yeah, we're not just going to talk about a program that you could do. We're going to talk about having gone through it and everybody else that went through it, too. So you'll get firsthand experience.
Yeah, it was awesome. And, he actually stalked one of the participants before the class. We're going to have that girl on.
Yeah, we won't tell him everything.
No, nothing like, hey, who's this? She's like, ah, it's me. So, things you can do to keep yourself safe, and we're going to do all that next week right after Thanksgiving, after you've been hanging out with your family, sharing pictures on Facebook. There's a clue. We're going to talk about that next week,
Not good.
All right.
That's
so,
my first hang-up call of the morning.
Oh, somebody already hung up on you?
Yes.
Nice job.
It's so early.
I told them to all do that.
I didn't think the hanger-uppers got up this early.
If you're going to call and hang up on Bob, the number's 530-605-4567. Just, you know, for those of you that just all of a sudden had an itchy trigger finger and wanted to make that call. And the website is wethepeopleradio.us.
We're streaming and chatting live. And usually the chat room's pretty entertaining, so jump in.
Yeah, I kind of forgot to get on there this morning. But we have our program entitled A Fisherman's Life. We're checking back in with our friend Chris McCafferty out there on the Atlantic seaboard. Sometimes we hear all about the West Coast problems, and we forget that there's stuff going on all over the place. We are not, I know this is going to come as a kind of a heartbreak here, but we are not special out here. It's happening to everybody.
No, the enviros are going after everybody, no matter where they live.
Yeah, we've already got people in the chat room talking about where's the beef. some things never change. So, is Chris hiding in there? Chris,
are you?
Hey, we have
Hi,
been wondering what's going on with you. And so glad to have you back. For folks who didn't tune in before, if you go to We the People Radio and you fan back through the shows in the archive, you can catch part one of Chris's show. It was on, here, June 19th, Fighting for Our Freedom to Fish. And since then, you guys have had some success, huh?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, we've been doing pretty good, actually. Last time I was on there, I was telling you about some of the area closures, particularly one, the very large one that closed all of our water to almost all recreational and commercial bottom fishing from 240 foot of water out to 200 miles offshore from Virginia to Key West. And that was just using the precautionary principle straight out of Agenda 21. Based on the lack of data on two fish, they assumed a worst-case scenario and shut the entire fishery down.
Wow.
Not just for those two fish, but for every fish that lived around them.
And, you know, Sonny, that little slip of the tongue, Agenda 21, boy, don't you just start to see that everywhere?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm happy to hear people start talking about
it. It's the giant umbrella that everything else fits underneath.
Yeah, and for those people who want to know if our local newspaper knows about it, Mark and Linda on Sovereign Minds interviewed Silas Lyons, our Record Searchlight editor, and that'll air this coming Sunday.
Tonight.
Yeah, oh, yeah, this coming Sunday. They did it last week.
Yeah.
Today is this coming Sunday. So tonight at 6 o'clock, you can find out how that worked out. And they dropped the Agenda 21 bomb and get some answers there. So pretty cool. Hey, Chris, tell people what you do for those folks who haven't heard you before.
Okay, well, I snapper grouper fish offshore. We go off about 40 to 60 miles out, and I have a 28-foot boat, just me and another guy or two, and we'll stay for 2 and 3, 4 days, depending on how long it takes to catch the fish. And then we just come in and unload and give the consumers, the American people, access to those public resources. And it was a very good way to make a living. It was something I loved. It's always a little dangerous, but it's just something that gets in your blood, regardless of the danger or the aggravation that goes along with it.
You're not the first generation in your family, are you?
Well, my great-grandfather did some, but I'm the first one, coming up in the past few generations. And it's something that my neighbor, he got me involved in it when I was 11 years old, and I started clamming and setting nets and doing stuff like that. And then when I turned 16, I worked for a week at McDonald's and decided I liked fishing a whole lot more and got a job on a charter boat and did that for over a decade. And also commercial fish during that time. But then I went straight to full-time commercial fishing from that and worked my way up to owning and operating my own boat. And, I was living the American dream until the government came to help.
And so, hi, we're from the government. We're here to help. We're going to help you open your wallet. So, you consider yourself a good steward of, in your case, the ocean, right? I mean, you do things correctly. You do things with integrity. And that seems to be a big issue with the environmentalists, is they actually believe that those that live off of the land are not the best stewards of that land.
Yeah, they give us a chance to give public comments, and I actually sent a couple of the public comments I'm submitting in written form to them. I've about decided to quit going to the meetings. They just look down on you with contempt, and you get your 3 minutes, and then they shout you down. So,
Have you been to our city council meeting?
I don't think it's exclusive to the bureaucracy that I'm dealing with. I believe that's all government bureaucracy. And so what I, have been doing is seeing how they're mismanaging the fisheries and then offer common sense solutions that would mitigate many of the severe negative impacts associated with the regulations. And they just have basically told me that if I didn't like what they were doing to us, I needed to take it up with Congress. And the other thing I do is try to take it to the American people, because my voice means very little to the bureaucrats or the politicians, especially the politicians, if I don't have any money to give them. And so where we the people, if we unite, we have power in numbers, and knowledge is power. So if I can inform the public, offer simple solutions that make sense, and then give a simple way to support them, we really are able to win some battles. That area closure I mentioned in the beginning there, we sent postcards that I made addressed to the Secretary of Commerce. At the time, it was Gary Locke, asking him not to implement that area closure, and after he did, asking him to suspend it. And as of January 1st, 2012, that entire area closure is supposed to be suspended because of the public outcry. If we said nothing, they would have taken that freedom and kept it, and we probably would have never got it back.
Nice. And so I know that the public comment is frustrating. I mean, the three-minute thing when, you know, you have to listen to an hour of things that are moderately factual will be kind there, and then you get your 3 minutes to respond to try to fit it all in. Was that due to just outcry at public meetings, or did you guys take another tack?
Well, doing those postcards gave a way for the general public to show their support for what the fishermen were saying all along. Most of the fishermen have pretty well given up on going to the meetings, you know, and the council looks down on you with contempt and will not even give you a chance to really state your case because, you know, the fishermen, they have a year's worth of pent-up frustration that they get that 3 minutes once a year to vent, you know, and so it's very hard to really make that case in a clear, calm way without wanting to lash out at the people that have devastated your, you know, your family financially, threatened your safety through the incompetent regulations, and forced you to waste, you know, just all kinds of God's resources that he gave us in the form of fish that we had to discard.
Yeah, we need to talk about that because people are like, what? What's he saying? And a lot of our problems over here come from the commercial end. I mean, our guys are being pressed upon upriver for what's happening at the commercial end, and that's not being factored in. So it's interesting. We almost have a reverse problem here on the West Coast in some cases. We're going to take a quick break, and we are going to come back with Chris McCafferty. We're talking about fishing and commercial fishing at that and some successes that they have had with their bureaucracy, and we're hoping to have those successes too. So we're gonna live the dream while we can. We'll be right back with you here at We the People Radio on KCNR 1460. AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
I'm going fish, 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 fishing. I'm going fishing, hook, sinker, and line. I said fish, 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 fishing.
A vehicle, a boat, or even a plane that needs to be transported, you need Miller Auto Transport. In the auto business for over 40 years, we take pride in the efficiency, the professionalism, and the safety of our transport teams. Unmatched by any other auto transport or carrier company in the nation, we transport to all 50 states and overseas. To find out more or to get a quote, visit our website at millerautotransport.com.
This is KCNR, the home of Free Fire Media.
I'm shaking, I'm bobbing, I'm bopping. I feel like one of those little bobby things in the ocean. I'm out there with the fish. Hey, welcome back to We the People.
We're chatting so little.
I know it. We're chatting and streaming at wethepeopleradio.us or call us at 605-4567. And we're talking about the devastating regulations that the government brings to our doorstep. And Chris McCafferty from the East Coast has felt that firsthand with his commercial fishing dream.
Yeah, and you don't even have to be a gigantic. I mean, it's not like you're out there on the shelf just, you know, gill netting them all day long. I mean, you're actually really fishing, right?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, I hook and line fish for almost everything I catch, and you know, it was a very clean fishery up until the government came to help, and they created so much waste in it. It got to the point that I was being forced to discard more fish than I was allowed to sell, even though many of them were slowly dying from stress, infection, decompression damage. And now with another law they passed where we're forced to use a certain type of hook that breaks their jaw if it's not removed properly, many of those fish slowly starve to death.
Gosh, that's so terrific. All those rules are there to help the fish, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we're going to torture them to death and waste them in the name of conservation.
So we see that here, too. It's just so nice, you know, that...
So when this is brought to their attention, how do they respond to the negative impacts of their own regulations? I mean, how do they justify it? How do they ignore their own science?
And one thing that they do is through size limits. That creates a lot of waste. That was the one form that we had before they started here recently with some of the other regulations. But when you pull fish up from deep water, they get decompression damage. Yeah, and like I mentioned, with the hook, and then you have to hold the fish firm enough to get the hook out and measure it. You mash his gills, you wipe his slime off, you know, and you do a lot of trauma to that fish, deprive him of oxygen while all that is going on. And so I had been arguing a little bit at that point that we should just remove those size limits. There's been studies done that show that by pulling out all the larger fish, you remove the breeding stock. You reduce the overall health of the stock of fish and the average size in it. And so really you'd be better off if you just kept what you caught, regardless of size, until your possession limit was met and count them all against the quota. Then you would have very little waste involved in the fishery, with the exception of the other thing that they have done, where they created derby fisheries, where they reduced the quotas, and they deduct about 30% from the lower quotas based on planning for the fish to die after we discard them. So if they remove their size limits, you'd have 30% higher quotas. Then they need to put possession limits in place to manage those quotas, where you have a bag limit on the recreational side. You need to have a trip poundage limit on the commercial side. That should be set high for the first 75% of the quota, and then adjusted for the remaining 25% up or down to a level that fills the quota without any long closure. And so then you're pretty much eliminating all the waste involved in a fishery by removing those size limits and then properly managing the quotas with the possession limits.
That's a pretty cool idea. So it sounds like you've said that in 3 minutes before.
Yeah.
And I've talked to thousands of people over the past year and a half. My full-time job is going around and, you know, just trying to basically lobby on a certain level for that common sense approach to fishery management.
Have you gone to your state legislature and done any lobbying?
I have talked with the Speaker of the House, Tom Tillis, in the North Carolina legislature. And then I also met with our Congressman, Walter B. Jones, on the federal level. What I did with I met with him last week, actually, and what I asked him to do for the fishermen was to sponsor a bill that would allow permit holders in a federal fishery to overrule a regulation that violates the Magnuson-Stevens Act, which is the law that dictates how America's fisheries are to be managed, but overturn that regulation with a two-third majority vote, then offer an alternative that does follow all of those regulations in the Magnuson-Stevens Act and uses the existing quotas. So he liked the idea that would give the fishermen a little bit of power over their bureaucracies and allow us to use our hands-on knowledge along with the sound science and the slightest bit of common sense, and we could really have some input in the way our fisheries are managed.
So of all the agencies or the elected officials that you're talking to, who are you getting the best response from? What level of government?
Congressman Jones, I'm a representative in the 3rd District here in North Carolina. He has been probably the best that I've worked with so far. The individuals and, individual citizens are also the ones that are the most helpful, because I've given out about 8,000 postcards supporting and opposing various fishery issues that are already addressed to the relevant public servant for that issue. And by those people multiplying my voice, that means very little, by hundreds or even thousands, depending on how many cards are sent. It really does make a difference. And we've been able to not only get that freedom to fish our waters beyond 240 foot of water out, we also stopped a bill in North Carolina that was going to take our freedom to buy three kinds of fish, trout, drum, and bass. And so that bill would have led to a ban on other fisheries that interacted with any fish, any of those three, what they call game fish. And so we would have lost our access to many of the fish harvested in state waters, and it would have destroyed the remaining commercial fishing industry in our state.
Wow.
What was the brainstorm behind that?
Well, unfortunately, it was a Republican-led bill. Once they gained control of the legislature, they had a few well-connected sportsmen that got with them and told them that if they took our freedom to eat those fish, it would bring more tourists, more sportsmen coming to look for trophy fish, because they claimed it would make the stocks, the fish bigger if we couldn't eat them. and there wasn't as much harvest of them. Even though recreational fishermen catch about 80% of each one of those species compared to the 20% consumers have access to.
No kidding.
Yeah, so that was a pretty big victory. My representative in my district here, she didn't think there was any way we were going to be able to stop it. But we, the people, really do have some power if we stand together. And one thing I found talking to so many people is that Democrats, Republicans, and just people that don't care about a party, none of them like bureaucracy. They all have a distrust for it. And that's something that we could use to unite people behind. You know, we need to stop these bureaucracies from ruling us. And they really don't answer to anyone. The laws they write are enforced on us through the barrel of a gun, threats of a fine, seizure of our property, and even imprisonment.
God, that sounds so familiar, doesn't it, Aaron?
Yeah.
Wow. Where have I heard that before? Oh, California.
Yeah, you know, and for those people who think that these kind of wacky environmental regulations that that really destroy industry and that at the end of the day don't really make a lot of sense, a lot of people think those originate in California. And yet, honestly, it's pressing on the entire country just in different different venues. You know, we need to know more about, you know, we kind of slid right by the part about the fish being wasted. I know we talked about that before, but I'm sure there are a lot of people that are thinking, well, you know, if they didn't catch so many, there would be more. I mean, you know, there's always that people like to play devil's advocate. So for those folks that are mentally playing devil's advocate with your statement before, why do you say that the fish were being wasted?
Well, because I believe that a quota, that once you have that, that's the basis for managing the fishery. You know, and if you're going to deduct 30% planning ahead for those fish to die after you discard them, then it would be far better for both the fish, fishermen, and consumers all to just keep what you caught, regardless of size, and count it against your possession limit and ultimately the quota. And so you would have an accurate count of what is being killed, actually. They kind of like guesswork. They like to extrapolate things. And so they leave a little bit of mystery in there that, all right, what percentage of these discards are dying? And so they can make it where they can manipulate the numbers a whole lot more than if they just had hard facts about what was being landed.
And so for all those people who have fished and thrown fish back, in your industry, why do you say when you throw them back they die? Is it the way you catch them, or?
Well, it's just that.
Talk to me about the decompression part.
Yeah, well, that's like the bends. If you can't, when it came up too fast from diving, you would get the bends, and then the infection that comes from puncturing their mouth and tearing it when you remove the hook, holding it like I mentioned earlier, where you had to hold it pretty firm to be able to get the hook out without him, slipping around of your hand and everything. And so it's just a matter of the longer you handle a fish, the more trauma it has, and the longer it's deprived of oxygen, and many of them do end up dying.
Yeah,
one of the first rules of catch and release fishing is that you don't remove that fish from the water. You have to remove it from the water to measure it. And then, there's a lot of waste there, but it is something that could be avoided, and we really should try to look for ways to do that. I'm using an analogy where would anyone support a law on land that required a hunter to just wound a deer, a squirrel, a rabbit, or anything like that until they measured it, then turned the little ones loose to stagger around until they recovered or finally died?
That's a great analogy.
Yeah, that would be cruel and inhumane.
Because you're bringing the fish up from what depth?
I fish anywhere from 100 to 600 feet of water.
Okay.
Anything over 100 feet of water, they're pretty susceptible to that decompression damage. Mm-hmm. They give us a syringe that we're supposed to, or make us buy one, that we're supposed to poke a hole in these fish and let the air out, and so that they're supposed to live after that.
What?
You poke all the holes you want in that fish, but if he has internal damage done to his organs, he's going to die. And now he's probably going to suffer for days until he finally dies.
Wow. Who came up with that brilliant idea?
Well, same ones that came up with that circle hook idea. You know, in theory, it sounds good, but in practical application...
They live off a theory. These folks don't do this.
What agency is that, anyway? Is that your National Marine Fisheries?
Well, there's multiple layers. You start with the NOAA, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. Then you have National Marine Fisheries Service. Then you have regional councils around the country. Ours is the South Atlantic Fishery Management Council. Wow. So they go through, and that's where they just, they have a, you know, a bunch of, they run you in a circle. If you don't like what we're doing, you go talk to them. Even underneath the South Atlantic Fishery Management Council, you have advisory panels. And so they all just kind of give you the runaround, and if you figure that out, that's when they shift you on up to Congress and get an even bigger runaround, because almost all of the congressmen in the country will not listen to you if you can't vote for them. And so that's where I try to get people, you know, everywhere in between here and you. We need to stand together and let our representatives know that we support one another's freedom. You know, so, there's certain things that we can do.
So where,
yeah, there's, I'm sorry, go ahead.
That's okay. No, go ahead.
There's a lot of other, you know, people that are controlled by bureaucracies that are permit holders. They have to buy a permit to log and do different things. And I'd encourage them to talk to their representatives and ask them to sponsor a bill similar to the one I mentioned, where they had some control over the way their industry was managed. I'm sure there's a set of guidelines out there established by Congress when they set up that bureaucracy, and many of the bureaucrats don't follow all of those guidelines.
So, Chris, before we go to break, What other private entities or private coalitions have you partnered with that you have found common ground with that are kind of joining the crusade? I mean, who are you finding out there? Because you're talking to thousands of people. Who are you finding other than just, you know, individuals that are jumping on board with you?
Well, what I've found, unfortunately, is that most established organizations don't want to work with the outside of their organization. They have a narrow view of what they want to do, and if it doesn't fall right in line with that, then they'd rather you do your own thing. And so that's where I decided I was just going to go to the American people, and that's been the biggest step.
Good. Sounds like Ronald Reagan.
Well, and, you know, I do work with some other fishery organizations. North Carolina Watermen United is a very good one. You know, and so it's just one of those things, though, that I really believe that it's got to be outside of the industry. The public and the consumers of seafood becoming aware of what is happening, how you're losing your access to it, and how 85% of our seafood is imported from countries that raise it in disgusting, inhumane conditions through aquaculture in other countries, or they harvest it with very little regulation at all. And they do over-harvest, do things like finning sharks, where they cut the fins off of a live shark and throw them overboard to suffer until he finally drowns. You know, and that's, to me, we should ban imports of seafood from countries that do those kind of things.
Why would they cut the fins off
our resources?
Oh, why would they cut the fins off a shark?
Well, because the Japanese and some of the Orientals think that it's an aphrodisiac to make shark fin soup.
It's kind of like rhino horn
and stuff like that.
Yeah, no kidding. So if you're like the average consumer and you really care about having healthy fish to eat, you know, where do you get your fish? I mean, like if I went out today and wanted to make fish, you know, cook fish for dinner, where would I go? I mean, where would I shop to find healthy fish?
You really should go to your local seafood market. You know, talk to the man behind the counter or the woman there and ask them, you know, what's local, what do you recommend? And they'll be honest with you.
Okay.
You know, some people don't care if it's not, you know, local seafood. But if you ask for it, they'll be happy to show it to you. And there's a couple of key things you can look for when you do buy a fish. I like to get a whole fish so that you can see the eyes, you can see the gills, and then have them clean it for you there. If the gills are gray and dull looking, then it's an older fish and the eyes are cloudy. If it's got clear eyes and bright red gills, that's a fresh fish. Ask them to flay it out for you. And you know, and then you can, if a filleted fish that you get is also more likely to be imported from another area rather than a whole fish.
Okay.
Stuff like if you go to Walmart or somewhere, stuff like your tilapia and your farm-raised shrimp. You know, they're imported from Indonesia, other Asian countries, where they really do raise those fish and shrimp in disgusting conditions.
Yeah, I don't consider Vietnam to be local enough.
I found tilapia at Walmart that was from China. Ugh.
Yeah.
When we come back from our little delayed break here, we're going to have Chris tell you how those fish get raised in Asia, because I still have bad dreams about it, and we wouldn't want to deprive you of those bad dreams. So stick with us for a couple minutes. We're going to take a quick break here. You're listening to KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
your tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more. For more information, visit our website at northstateconsultants.com.
Hear us streaming 24/7 on KCNR1460.com.
Well, I love her, but I love the fish. I spend all day out on this lake, and hell is all I catch. But today she met me at the door, said I would have to choose. If I hit that fishing hole today, she'd be packing all her things and she'd be gone by noon. Well, I'm gonna miss her. I get home.
I don't think there's anything I can say. Oh, Chris, I hope you loved that one.
I have a feeling.
Yeah, so we...
But wait.
Luckily, my wife likes to fish.
Thank God for her.
Good thinking. Pick a woman who likes to fish. See, I think... I don't know. You know, I'm kind of a cook the fish person. You know, we have a caller actually in the studio. It's so much handier when they just come in to ask the question. But before we do that, please tell people about the Asian fishing conditions, just in case we forget and gloss over.
Yeah, and I hope you folks out there haven't eaten breakfast yet.
Yeah.
Well, the farm raised stuff is usually it's raised in little more than sewage pits that they have there, where they put chicken coops over the top of it to also feed them the droppings from the birds. They also feed them hormones and antibiotics to keep from getting infected in the sewage pits and to help them grow faster. And that's where, you know, with 85% of that seafood being imported, only 1% is checked. And of that 1%, half is rejected because it either has illegal antibiotics, hormones, or is somehow unfit to eat. You know, so it really is. It's disgusting. They crowd these shrimp and fish and, you know, overcrowded areas. That's why they have to give them the antibiotics as well as the sewage that they're living in. But it's, you know, it's cruel and inhumane to those fish, too. That is not a good alternative to fresh, wild-caught seafood that lives free until it is responsibly harvested, killed quickly, and used wisely.
Wow. So, yet again, it seems like every show has that little thread in it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We have talked about chicken crap.
Yeah.
Can we say, is crap okay, Bob?
Crap is good.
We allow crap on this station, yes.
We allow crap.
That just seems to come up every week. It's the strangest thing.
We've been dying to say a word that would hit the red button, but we really don't. We don't want to push the envelope, so we've been searching for a word that,
questionable. We thought crap was an accidental word
that we could get away with.
We get away with it now.
You do know the feds are already monitoring this program, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
So great. And we hope you enjoy it.
Yes, we're going to educate them. Okay, so Mike has come through the door, and he said, hey, ask him about this. We're like, we don't know what you're talking about.
So, sit down, Mike, and ask.
Okay, on the West Coast, and I'm not sure how effective this is toward the East Coast, but you know, we allow the big factories, the Russians and Japanese and all, to sit right off our shores and literally sweep our oceans. And that's the problem with the so-called endangered fish. And I've been up to Alaska, up to Sitka, Alaska. We filmed a story about this.
Mike has the God voice now.
And it's... It's really disturbing. Is that, you know, they sit literally off our shores. They sweep the oceans. They process the fish right there. Dump all the waste. Dump the waste from their little city that they're sitting on, right into the ocean, and then turn around and sell us back our fish. Now, is this
how far offshore are they? Do you know?
It's supposed to be 15 miles.
But 15 miles.
Yeah.
Okay, because it's supposed to be 200, from what I understand, is the exclusive economic zone that they created in the Magnuson-Stevens Act. And we really don't have that big of a problem on the East Coast here. They do fish offshore 200 miles, but, and I'm not sure if they're offshore where I go, about 60 miles out is about as far out as I fish. But to my knowledge, it's not that big of a problem on this coast. And that was one of the good things that the Magnuson-Stevens Act did for fishermen. I'd argue that act is not really that bad in any way. It is just how the bureaucrats pick and choose what they will and will not enforce in that. And that could be one of the things they are not enforcing, is to keep those foreign fleets 200 miles offshore.
When was that?
In part due, I'm sorry, go ahead.
When was that act enforced?
1976 is when that was, when they established that 200-mile exclusive economic zone.
Okay.
And they should have been staying offshore of that. But since we owe so much money to foreign countries, you know, there are politicians and bureaucrats could be trading off access to our resources in order for them to keep loaning us money or not call in that debt.
That's very interesting because mm-hmm. I know that, you know, the city of Sitka, which was the fishing capital of the world, is no longer. And they literally fight in the streets. It's the commercial fishermen against the charter fishermen blaming each other for a lack of fish when it's neither one of their problem.
Well, and that's exactly what the fishery bureaucracies really want, is us to bicker back and forth about a sure fault, when really they have grossly mismanaged almost every stock they have been charged with managing since 1976 when their bureaucracy was created. And if they've really done as bad a job as they have and they claim their stock assessments show, their bureaucracy should be disbanded, start over, and you know, take that $1 billion back that National Marine Fisheries gets and give it back to the people and let us come up with our own solutions and also enhance the resource. There's things that you could do to really increase the total biomass of fish available to consumers. One of the main ways to do that would be artificial reefs. They are the perfect union of aquaculture and commercially harvested wild fish. And so rather than always wanting to restrict freedom and access to our public resources, they can enhance those resources, feed more people, help coastal economies, and advance liberty all at the same time.
We definitely need to come out and talk to the people. I went down to San Francisco when they had the big congressional meeting down there, and all the fishermen showed up from all of them down the coast as far away as Oregon. And so I was glad, and we're saying we can't go out, you know, and we can't go out and fish. You won't allow us to. What are the rules? And they were talking about all this, but, you know, we need to have some East Coast input, too, because just like the East Coast is older area because it was inhabited first.
Sure.
You know, that we the problems that you've had, I think, actually have come around a little bit, and we need you to come out here and say, okay, this is how we came around and, you know, got people to think right and let people have, you know, have their economic jobs. And you, when you think of it, if you want to put people in Detroit back to work with a pickup truck, you know, building those, well, you better have some farmers, fishermen, ranchers, miners, loggers out there who use pickup trucks. And yet they all these people out here on the West Coast are out of work because of regulation.
Well, you know, next year with the elections coming up, if I can raise enough money, what I would like to do is travel to the different campaign events and talk with the people in different districts about what is happening, maybe have a simple pledge for them to sign. And, you know, I'd like to see all bureaucracies be investigated, have the people that those bureaucracies are supposed to be helping offer comments on how that could be run more effectively and efficiently. And we really could probably balance the budget simply by cutting bureaucracy.
And, you know, the thing is when the government talks about creating jobs, those are the ones they're referring to.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's tons of those government jobs, and then the environmental charities, they get the grant money from the government to tell the government what to do.
Yeah, but that money's free.
They don't do what they say.
Yeah, it doesn't come from us.
That's free money, grant money. That's like magic money.
It's printed off trees.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it comes from a grant.
Yeah, but those are trees from overseas.
Yeah. That's true, trees from overseas. Well, it's kind of funny.
Just print it for him.
Well, we've got, like, you know, because Mike's talking about, you know, the Russians and this and that, and I'm thinking, yeah, who's going to overfish your side? The French? You know?
Surrender.
I was going to say, you know, one set of fireworks and they're down, because, you know, that's why they don't have fireworks at Euro Disney anymore. Because every time they went off, the French army surrendered.
But they did put trees along the roads over there so the Germans could march in the shade.
Okay, this conversation's going downhill fast.
Taking a little departure. We've got to have our white flag moment. We don't have to hit the white button for that, do we?
Nah.
Are the feds still watching or listening? I mean,
oh, of course.
Oh, I'm sure they are.
Yeah, we don't have the webcam in here yet, so we don't have the feds watching.
We're already toast. Don't worry about it.
Oh, that's awesome. I hope we all get incarcerated together. At least we'll have fun.
Yeah.
So we better take a quick break so that because the people that own the station are not the feds. They're not watching, and they're real nice, and they're not French. I don't think. You know, but that's not French. It's probably German. You're probably marching in the shade, huh?
That's right.
Yeah. So we'll be back with you in 2 minutes. Roots here on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Wrote a note, sent me back in a minute. Bought a boat and I sailed off in it. Don't think anybody's gonna miss me anyway. Mind on a permanent vacation. The ocean is my only medication. Wishing my condition ain't ever gonna go away. Cause now I'm knee deep in the water somewhere. Got the blue sky breeze blowing wind through my hair. Only worry in the world is the tide gonna reach my chair.
The hotline is open on KCNR 1460. 530-605-4567.
Fish heads, fish heads, roly-poly fish heads. Fish heads, fish heads, eat them up young. Where did they come from and how'd they really get here? What earthly purpose do they serve? Fish heads, fish heads, roly-poly fish heads.
Were you a watcher of Saturday Night Live back in the day?
Okay, welcome back to the comedy of We the People Radio.
And if you're not in your 50s, you don't even know what the music's from.
Hey, so I'm reading, as you know, when we're on break, I'm on my little computer and I pull up the Drudge Report. Here's a great headline. The European Union, water does not hydrate. Oh, and the Dutch, they're falling out of love with windmills.
But Robert had on our chat room, if you're not in our chat room, you're really blowing it. Go to wethepeopleradio.com or .us and click on listen. Robert's got on here the UN. UN stands for United Huts. Oh, that's about all we'll have left. Good grief. And then Mike's parting shot. He had to go to church to pray for us. How nice was that? He wanted to make sure we let you know what the instructions on the French guns say. Anybody? Anybody?
I have no idea.
Drop and run. Chris, it's taken an ugly turn. Are you still with us out there in probably the sober country of North Carolina? You can be your own country today. I think that's what that's what the UN has in mind for us. We just separate us all into different countries and then run us around with a bunch of crazy rules until we lose our minds. Hey, okay. It was all bad. You couldn't fish. There was nothing going on. They had you regulated to death. What was the thing that kind of cracked the door open a little bit so you could see a little daylight?
Well, actually winning some battles, you know, getting back some of the freedom that they had taken was, it was a great feeling. And to know that, I stood up for what I believed in and actually made a difference, not all on my own, but with the help of hundreds and even thousands of other individual liberty-loving Americans just standing united. You know, and it wasn't just Republicans, it was Democrats, Republicans, all different walks of life and political views that, you know, came together behind what I was trying to say.
Gee, that's how we describe the Tea Party.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah, and it is something. Yeah, that's where I really try to promote or talk about the bureaucracy more than whether the politicians of it, because that is something that everybody can understand and relate to. And nobody likes it when the government, you know, through a bureaucracy comes in there and tells them what to do, and they usually it's something that's really weird and doesn't make any sense that they want them to do.
Well, you've got you did the postcard thing, and for those folks that don't even know what that is, if you go to Chris's website, and it's on ours if you forget, but it's on there, www.freefish7.com, freefish, the number 7.com, and on there, Chris, what's the tab they go to see the postcards?
Go to the updates page, and you can see some of the success. The postcards change so much, I really don't put each one on there. But if you email me, I'll be happy to send you a few of them that I have now. But on that updates page, like I said, you can see some of the success that they have had. And it really is just a simple way for people to show support for what I'm saying. Somebody gave me that idea when I was trying to get people to send emails and make phone calls. You know, I said, I got all these pictures, why don't you just make a postcard? And it's easy, and then people will do it. So that's been very effective. And the calendar that I make is on the website as well, and that's what I use to travel around and raise the money. And like I mentioned in the previous segment, hopefully I'm going to go to the campaign events with that calendar, selling it to travel the country, and I'd like to make it all the way out there and do a live show with you in your studio.
You know, Chris, you are, I got to say, you are a great American.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
It's a great idea. You're a really super good photographer, too, for those people mm-hmm. that are like, what calendar? Where'd that come from? Go on to Chris's website or go on to ours, and on the radio page there at We the People Radio, if you scroll down, you will see one of the photos from the 2012 Natural Art Calendar. My favorite month is November. Chris will actually send you a matted, what is that, an 8x10?
Yeah, it's an 8x10 and 11x14 mat.
Yeah, and
if you just want to buy a matted print, or you can buy the calendar, and it's on the Natural Art page of my website as well. But it's pictures that I've taken while working around the water, and I wanted to show the beauty of what it is that the fishermen get to see while we're out there. You know, it's not all about just killing a bunch of fish. You know, the part of what gets in your blood is the beautiful things you get to see. I've seen whales, you know, humpback whales jumping all over, and you see all kinds of things that most people really never get a chance to see, other than on National Geographic or, you know, another TV show.
It's the pictures are terrific.
Yeah, and they are.
And really, you know, really affordable. I got calendars and a picture, and I need to get, I forget if it's October or December. I can't remember which. It's snow. Snow on a...
That's December.
Is that December? Yeah, I need to pair those up. I need November and December, so I'm going to have to do that. But the pictures are a great idea, and you put some of those great local photos on postcards with... give people an idea of maybe what was printed on one of them. I can only think of
like
one.
I've got one right now that is calling for a full congressional investigation into the mismanagement of our fisheries. It also thanks Chairman Hastings and the House Committee on Natural Resources for holding hearings into this, but it does need to go to a full congressional investigation. And when I met with Congressman Jones last week, he asked me if I'd be willing to go testify at the next hearing.
Nice.
Excellent.
I'm hoping to go do that. I'll be there. And, you know, it's... So if enough people keep pushing those postcards, sending them in, then we'll get the investigation sooner rather than later. And so I've got one, you know, let's see, another one is asking Congressman Jones to support that bill with a 2/3 majority vote. And like I said, I'd really like to see a lot of people in other that are affected by other bureaucracies that have to buy a permit, because that gives you a way to, you know, not everybody can vote in the whole country on an issue, but if a permit holders have some control over the bureaucracy that's ruling them, that's a good first step in the right direction anyway.
That's great. And the orders for the postcards are all on the website. But to give people an idea of maybe a cost breakdown in case they're thinking, oh, it sounds expensive. It's really not.
Okay, well, the postcards are free. That's part of what I do with the money that I raise. I'd like it if you bought some calendars and or a calendar, and I mailed them with that. That would kind of offset the cost of it for me. But what I do with the calendars, they're normally $10 for one. But I've got a special order for
Christmas.
That's
a deal.
Well, and I can send four of them in one prepaid priority envelope, and I'll do that for $20, where I'll cover the cost of the shipping and the tax. For $20, you get four calendars, and I'll send some of those postcards in there with it. And that really gives me a way to raise the money to continue fighting. And it's a good way for you to multiply the value of your weak dollar. You're not only getting, you know, a quality product that you can use anyway or give as gifts, then you're also helping your fellow American fight for our freedom. And if we did that and all we, you know, voted with our money in all aspects of life, consider shopping at locally owned stores, looking for American-made products, we the people could pull this country out of the near recession that we're in and really, really help each other and not send all that money overseas to foreign countries.
Exactly. And see, Robert, that does our video stuff, and he also does our radio page here. He takes these programs and he'll put them on CD for people. He makes a great cover, says We the People, has the great
really
Liberty
nice.
Bell on the front, on the inside. He puts the information about the program and includes the CD with a really nice printed face on the CD.
Yeah.
Because that
a great
would
job.
Be an excellent gift to go with a calendar, actually, if somebody was looking for Christmas.
And Robert and Chris are both, you know, people that are talented, and they are taking their talent and using it to try to take back the country. So what a great thing to support.
Yeah. Yeah, Robert started as a portrait artist, and now he's doing this kind of stuff as a volunteer, and Chris is a fisherman, and now he's making calendars. It's like, and Elizabeth and I used to have real jobs, and now we're doing volunteer radio stuff. So
yeah, and we and you'll see us at public meetings at least 3 times a week.
Yeah, isn't it interesting how all these things change? So we better hop off here so we can catch up with 5 minutes of news. We'll be back with Chris McCafferty here. talking about fishing. And, oh, nice. We got another little musical interlude. So we'll be back with you at We the People Radio. We're streaming on live at KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
For the second hour of We the People Radio. 605-4567 is the number to call. We're streaming and chatting live at wethepeopleradio.us. And as usual, we're talking about all things that fall under our umbrella of limited government, fiscal responsibility, and adherence to the Constitution, and how regulations and bureaucracy are destroying our natural resources, and the multitude of jobs that are derived from fishing and logging and hunting and so on and so forth. And it happens not just on the West Coast, which is what we normally focus on, but the East Coast as well.
Exactly. And I was just on the chat room here. If you go to wethepeopleradio.us, you click on listen, you'll bring up the page here with the KCNR chat pack. And I was letting Robert know in here, if he makes me a copy of today's show, then I will bring one of Chris's calendars tomorrow. And tomorrow, Monday night here in Reading at 6 o'clock, you'll be listening to John Kabachek from the NFIB.
Yes, Natural Federation of Independent Business, in case you're curious.
Yeah, so we'll be learning about the oldest lobbying group for independent businesses, actually. They've been around a long time.
And if you do own a small business out there, come to the meeting tomorrow night. John is a fabulous speaker, actually. We had him on the radio, like you mentioned, and he's good.
He is good. So bring me a copy of today's program, Robert. I'll put it with one of Chris's calendars, and somebody can win that because it is terrific.
Yeah, go to the website and check out his photos there. I can't believe that you weren't a photographer first and a fisherman second, Chris.
Well, I've always taken a lot of pictures while I've, since I was basically probably 10, 11 years old, I started taking some, and people started telling me I should sell them, and what I did was go to art shows and festivals when I wasn't fishing all along, and my son would go with me, and we'd sell those. And I'd always wanted to do a calendar, but then when this catastrophe came along, I wanted to try to turn those lemons into lemonade, and I made
there
a calendar so I could create a source of income to go out and do this.
Now, that's the American, and that's the American way and the entrepreneurial spirit.
Elizabeth was a photographer before she got her new lips.
I was for years, so I really appreciate your work.
Well, one of the things that's great about taking pictures, it really gives you a reason to notice things that you might otherwise overlook and go out and see some of that stuff.
Yeah, you see the world through different eyes.
Yeah, and, like I said, the fishermen are blessed with a chance to see all kinds of great things, and I didn't want a handout from anyone. I wanted to use the talent God gave me in the free market to do this, and
bless you.
It really has worked. I've been able to keep the repo man away from my boat, not getting rich by any means, but as long as I can do that, hold on to my boat while I fight this fight and hopefully win it, and then I can go back fishing and have the photography as a side business.
That's nice. Now, are you fishing?
No, ma'am. I haven't fished for over a year now because I couldn't keep throwing back all those fish and watch them float off behind the boat, suffering and finally dying.
Now, what's out here? We have a huge, and somebody asked this in the chat room kind of a long time ago, and I said, "Oh, sure, I'll ask," and then I forgot. We have a lot of problem here, or just issue, I guess I should say, with the tribes. Do you have tribal fishing issues there?
No, we really, we've got some Lumbee Indians that fish. They, fish right alongside of us. They have to have the same permits and everything as we do.
Oh.
So it's really not an issue like I have heard about on the West Coast.
Oh, okay. Because, yeah, was, you know, a lot of our tribes are self-regulated, and, you know, that always, it's always fraught with problems. And then our, you know, our commercial fishing, by the time a lot of our salmon get to the ocean, you know, we have a commercial fishing issue. And then, like Mike brought up, out on the shelf, we have these giant commercial fisheries coming from, you know, Russia and the Asian guys out there, you know, fishing really close and depleting our fishery. So out here, the popular blame game is that it's the farmers and ranchers irrigation. And so they're stripping the fishery in this one tiny section 150 miles from the coastline, and they're the ones messing up the whole salmon thing.
Well, I don't know enough about that to make an informed comment on it, but you know, you got to really look at what they say. What they say and reality are a lot of times two different things. And you can have many different industries, you know, work together and really have where it benefits everyone in the process. And that's where people need to come together and use their experience, their hands-on knowledge, rather than just theories to figure out, you know, and solve problems. The Marine once told me that if you're going to complain, you need to offer a solution to solve that problem. And that's what I've been trying to do, is offer, you know, simple solutions that really would work and, you know, could be easy to implement and enforce. Because you do have to have guidelines and regulations. You can't just let people go out there and, you know, catch all the fish, and if you exceed what is a good quota so that there would be a stock to replenish, then you can collapse that stock, and that's not going to be good for the fish, fishermen, or consumers.
No, but when we create kind of these bubble regulations, like, it's funny, on the break I was standing out there in the studio and listening to the news. I don't know if you sat there and listened to it, but they were talking about hunting buffalo.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah, they needed
and you can have a responsible harvest of almost anything,
yeah.
You know. It's just a matter of you can't take more than what will be there, will, you know, replenish the stock. And, you know, they want to go back to what the status was in a virgin fishery, which, you know, it's not ever going to go back to that unless you enhance the resource, because there's been things that have, you know, damaged it in the course of some of the early fishing things that they did, like your industrial trawlers off there. They scrape the bottom of the seafloor clean a lot of times with those big nets that they're dragging. Yeah, and they were coming into our waters doing the same thing back in the 70s. And so that resource is not what it was before it had any human interaction, but we can fix it. We can or enhance it at least, and really, like I said, increase the amount of food available to the American citizens and the world in general, and show other nations by example how we should manage our fisheries for the benefit of all and the resource itself.
And how far out do you go?
I fish usually 40 to 60 miles out.
That's pretty far.
Yeah, you're out of sight of land for sure.
And you only catch snapper and grouper. And then where does that typically go? Is that I don't know. Do we have grouper in our stores here?
You know, I don't remember ever seeing it.
What's that?
I mean, that's not that it hasn't been there.
Is it a whitefish or what's grouper?
Yeah, grouper on the East Coast, it's a very popular fish. It's a
is
white.
Is it like halibut?
And, it's probably something similar mm-hmm. along those lines. Halibut is more like what we have as a flounder or a fluke on the East Coast as far as their shape, but the halibut gets much bigger, and the meat quality probably is real similar to what the grouper is. But, you know, and I catch other fish too, triggerfish and the topwater pelagic fish like your mahi and your tuna and stuff like that.
Okay. And do you guys have much salmon out where you are?
No. In the Northeast they have some salmon, but none here where I live.
Okay, see, salmon's the if we're going to fight over fish, I think we spend most of our time fighting over salmon. So
that's a good fish to eat.
Yeah, it's a good fish to eat.
Like to
huge regulation and a lot of programs being designed to increase that fishery, but very much like what you saw. You know, not a lot of common sense. There are a lot of different regulations that are maiming the fish and harming them, same as you had said. You have a video on your website that we have included on the front of ours. And did you want us to play that whole thing?
No, that's up to you. I just, if
we
y'all wanted
it.
The bumper music, I thought that would be a good one. But if you want to play it, it pretty well sums up the feelings that most commercial fishermen have, not just in America, but all across the world. That song was written and played by a guy from Australia. You know, they're facing a very similar situation to what we are. And it is in part due to Agenda 21 and then the environmental charities like Pew Charitable Trust that go across the globe and try to manipulate governments to do what they want.
Well, we will, how about this? When we come back from this break, we'll play that. So we'll give people a chance. They can go if they want to watch the video or they want to take a look at that. It is on wethepeopleradio.us. It's right there on the front page. And that'll give you all the links to Chris's site. And it's a YouTube video. So there is there's something to look at, too. But those of you that are just on radio, we'll play it for you. And when we come back, we're going to take a couple minute commercial here.
Yeah.
Thank our advertisers. And by the way, if you'd like to sponsor the program, that would be super great.
Oh, yeah, we forget about that.
I know, because we stink at that part. But we'd really love for you to sponsor the program so that we can get more great information out to folks. And you can contact Elizabeth at Elizabeth, pretty easy.
Yep.
At wethepeopleradio.us. And that is her email. That's also on our page there you can go to. If you have ideas for shows, always interested to hear who you're talking to, what you're reading, who you're hearing on other radio programs. You can get a hold of me for that. I keep the calendar. So it's Erin, E-R-I-N, at wethepeopleradio.us. And we'd love to air the folks that you're listening to. And Chris, you must know some folks out there that we don't have access to. So all those things, we would be happy to hear from you. We're going to be back with you in 2 minutes here at KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
You and me go fishing in the dark, lying on our backs and counting the stars where the cool grass grows. Down by the river in the full moonlight, we'll be falling in love in the middle of the night, just moving slow.
If your tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more. For more information, visit our website at northstateconsultants.com.
This is KCNR, the home of Free Fire Media.
She sits on the dock, fishing in the water. I don't know her name, she's a fisherman's daughter.
I don't have to guess when it's my time to pipe in. I get Bob just points a finger at me.
He gives you the finger, and then you go.
Yeah, and then I'm
not
on,
that
baby.
Finger, the
yeah,
other finger.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It would be the pointer finger.
It's the index finger.
So we are joining Chris McCafferty from the East Coast, talking about overregulation and the commercial fishing industry. And there's a video on YouTube that was put together. I was watching it earlier in the show while the rest of you were talking. It's absolutely fabulous, and there's a song that was written and sung by a commercial fisherman from Australia, so it's happening to them too, and we're going to play that. It's called A Fisherman's Life.
All right, and it opens with a spoken word intro from one of the video makers.
Who's Australian, so here comes the Australian accent.
Get ready.
This is a compilation of our family's fishing history. My husband is a fourth-generation commercial fisherman, and I'm a fifth-generation commercial fisher. Our fathers between them have 92 years of commercial fishing experience and knowledge, not to mention their fathers and grandfathers. This is for both our families, because unlike the Australian Fish Management Authority, we passionately believe that our generational fishing experience is significant. This is the end of the line, unfortunately, and thanks to our government, there will be no more hope for future generations.
I stand in my doorway as the moon rises high over glorious ocean, reflects the bright sky. My heart, it is aching, so much I could die. I've known only the ocean since I was a boy. And I spent my whole life out there on the sea. Some government bastard now takes it from me. It's not just the fish, they've taken my pride. I feel so ashamed that I just want to hide. I fished with my father so long, long ago. We were proud of our trade, and in us it did show. We held our heads high, there was lots of fish then. That was the time when we were proud men. We challenged great storms, and sometimes we won. Faced death and disaster, we rose with the sun. We worked and we toiled, we strained our man's brain. We were a proud people, will we e'er be again? And I spent my whole life out there on the sea. Some government bastard now takes it from me. It's not just the fish, they've taken my pride. I feel so ashamed that I just want to hide. My father is gone now, and the fish are gone too. Abused and mismanaged, oh, what can we do? I'm too old to change, but what of my sons? How will they know that we weren't the ones? If old regulations permitted the rape of our beautiful ocean from headland to cape, they brought in big trawlers, they tore up our twine. Politicians don't care for what's yours or what's mine. Bastard now takes it from me. It's not just the fish, they've taken my pride. I feel so ashamed that I just wanna hide. You brave Newfoundlanders, now listen to me. Shove the package to hell, go back to the sea. If we don't stand our ground, we will fade away, and the bones of our fathers will turn into clay. I spent my whole life out there on the sea. Some government bastard now takes it from me. It's not just the fish, they've taken my pride. I feel so ashamed that I just wanna die.
Well, how was that?
Yeah, that was fabulous. And there's a video that goes with it. So if you want to go in later today and watch and listen to the whole thing, you can find that on the WeThePeopleRadio.us website.
And the
the video, which is literally mm-hmm. a series of photos, mm-hmm. is gorgeous.
It looks like a family history.
I do have to say, of course, however, we did have people goofing off on the chat room. And, yeah. of course, they kept piping on there that, you know, because the president said if you say anything bad about him, you know, you have to send a note to attackwatch.com, you know. So we typically have these attackwatch things coming up. So now we had Bastard Watch coming up. You know, it's like, can you say that?
Can we say that on the radio, Bob?
Oh, of course.
Thank God. My Quincy like, church praying for us right like, now, so like we're okay.
You, like you always say, Bob.
You just said it, Elizabeth.
Can we say bastard? You just did.
We just did. But yeah, Mark even translated it for us from, you know, that movie Johnny Dangerously. So he has bastages on there.
So that was beautiful, Chris.
Of course, we've gone off the reservation, Chris, again. Yet again, we've gotten so much sillier since the last time we spoke with you.
Yes, and folks, this is how easy it is to order Chris's calendars. I did it while we were on the air.
Oh, yeah. You multitasked it, and you didn't rip the earphones off your head, too. That's fantastic.
I have
fantastic.
Not ripped the earphones off my head or pulled the microphone out of its little contraption here in, I don't know, weeks.
It's been like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I know. It's almost kind of not fun.
And now that my broken foot doesn't swell anymore, I don't have to take the little garbage can, stick it underneath the desk to rest my foot, and forget to put it back, and then have Carl and Linda kick it over on Monday morning.
Yeah. People are like, wow, I wish they had a webcam. It sounds totally fun.
We're getting back to normal. So anyway, again, $20 for 4 beautiful calendars. Really easy. Your website's super user-friendly.
And we want to, so we want Chris to get to Congress so he can testify mm-hmm. on our behalf so we don't have to eat horrible seafood from Asia that's living in chicken crap.
Yeah, so that the most local fish you can get is from Vietnam.
Yeah.
We don't want that to happen.
Gruesome.
So go online, order 4 calendars or more. Great gifts, and they tell a story.
Freefish7.com. Hey, so Chris,
do you got a PayPal button on there?
You do. It's awesome.
I don't get any of your information. It's all secure.
We don't care if you have our information. Like you're a nice guy.
Everybody's already got it anyway.
Yeah. Well, I'd like for people to email me though. One of the things I'm trying to do as well, along with the postcards, is get people to copy the public comments that I'm writing and send them to your representative. Because like I mentioned before, you know, if I'm not in their district, they really won't even allow me to send anything to them. They have filters. If you're not punching in the right zip code, you can't send it.
I just want you to know that Senator Doug LaMalfa from the once great state of California, we do not discriminate against people from outside our area who send us emails, and we prefer jokes, actually.
And just want you to know, those are always good. We have another website that we have created called supportruralamerica.com. And, you know, all things related to natural resources, Agenda 21, overregulation, government intrusion, you can find on that website. And you will also find a link to Chris's website as well. So we're kind of linking everywhere we can.
I am, I'm going to put, did you put Chris's site on there?
Not yet. I'm waiting for you to make me an admin.
I did already.
Okay.
It's already done. And okay, then I'm going to add this video on there, too, because it is fantastic.
Yeah, I love that video.
Do you know those folks?
I chill down my spine every time I hear it.
I know. And do you know them?
No. Somebody sent me that video, and it just, when I heard it the first time, it was like, man, that really sums up the way I feel about what they're doing to us. And,
yeah, no
kidding. For them to be in Australia and facing a very similar situation, it's kind of sad to know that the heritage that has gone on since the times of Jesus, you know, he caught fish commercially with some of his disciples and fed them to thousands of people as he taught them things like the Golden Rule. And that Golden Rule does not seem to have any place in government bureaucracy, you know, where it should. They should be considering how they would like to be treated if the roles were reversed. And is there a way that they can reach the same end goal without destroying men's lives and jobs and hurting their families and possibly even, you know, compromising to their safety to the point that some die?
It was sad. I mean, their whole thing of, you know, the number of generations that they've been fishing and the history there and how much they loved it, and they can't pass it on to their kids. And you had said mm-hmm. that before, too.
Yeah, no fisherman thinks that it's going to go beyond our generation, and they would not encourage their kids to follow in their footsteps. even though it used to be a great way for fathers and sons to bond, spend time together, pass on traditions and knowledge of the sea, you know, and have a trade that is really something, you know, a trade that is good, and, you know, it's a way to feed people. It's not an evil industry that's out there to rape the sea and leave it barren. We want it to be responsibly harvested in a way that allows it to, you know, be the best it can be. And in the process, feed, you know, millions of people, and hopefully even more if we actually went ahead with enhancing our resources. Just the way you farm a piece of land, one piece of land that's not enhanced will produce a certain amount of food. But if the farmer goes in there and kills it and does certain things, that same piece of land will produce far more food. And same thing in our oceans.
It's interesting, too, because the people that are the stewards of the land, who are truly, conservationists...
They are the environmentalists,
yeah.
Truly.
Yeah. Their conservation and stewardship was designed to reutilize the resource. I mean, you look at our timber industry out here. You know, now we just let the forest choke themselves out until the trees die, catch on fire, and burn everything out. The wildlife, sterilize the ground.
All the things they claim to care about.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. So when we come back, we got to talk to you a little bit about your take on Agenda 21 out there and on that side of the country, because we're finally kind of cracking the code out here. People are finally starting to, if they don't know about it, they're asking about it, and it's finally not just those of us people being watched by the government that know about it. We'll come back with Chris McCafferty here. We're talking about commercial fishing here at KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
Well, it's not far down to paradise, at least it's not for me. If the wind is right, you can sail away, find tranquility. Oh, the canvas can do miracles, just you wait and see.
The hotline is open on KCNR 1460, 530-605-4567.
Felt a tug on the line and I didn't pay attention, spinning way too fast. Before I knew it, I was staring at a 10-pound shiny bass. When I tried to pull the fish inside, I pulled a muscle in my upper thigh. I was so scared, I threw my rod up in the air. Take the reel, take it from my hands, 'cause I can't do this on my own. I'ma let me go, and I need your help, man. And if you don't, my fish is gone. Oh, please take the reel.
Okay, I just got the pointer finger from Bob. Time to Jesus, take the reel.
No,
I'm
no.
Letting go. Okay,
that's
so.
Actually Cletus, take the reel.
Yeah, that's great.
Cletus, take the reel.
our listeners will recognize that as a spoof of Carrie Underwood's "Jesus, Take the Wheel."
Aww.
Done by Tim Hawkins.
Very it's good. Cletus, take
very
the reel.
Good. That's so awesome.
So appropriate on a Sunday morning.
Hey, so we're talking to Chris McCafferty. He's from the East Coast. We're talking about the commercial fishing industry, government overregulation, and his one man's battle to take back what he loves. But you're doing a great job out there. And, you know, we've talked a little bit about your efforts to raise funds to fight this battle through the sale of your calendars. And, again, go to wethepeopleradio.us. That's our media page. You can find out everything that you need to know about Chris. You can go right to his website. The calendars are extraordinarily beautiful. They're an incredibly great deal, easy to order online. We also have added that link to supportruralamerica.com. So there's no excuse. You can find it everywhere.
Well, I appreciate that.
And we have a brief pause.
I just want people
He's like, are you done goofing off?
I want that to sink in.
He's afraid of what's coming next.
Yeah, really. Dun, 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 dun. Mm-hmm. So, hey, yeah, well, actually, that's appropriate. Dun, 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 dun. Here comes Agenda 21. So out there in your neck of the woods, is that a common discussion item?
It's becoming more so.
Yeah.
When I first heard it, I think I was kind of like a lot of people. You know, that sounds like a conspiracy. That can't really be happening. There's not a global plot to control every, you know, activity of mankind and put us in little areas that we're allowed to live and have giant areas that are off limits to all human inhabitation, you know, and then how we control our oceans. But it really is something that's real. You know, they came up with it down in Rio de Janeiro back in, I believe it was 92 at the Earth Summit, and laid out a guideline for how our Earth should be managed. And a lot of the stuff is not even that bad. It's how you go about implementing it that is the bad thing. And I'm not saying we should quarantine, you know, large areas where we can't live in it, but some of the stuff does make sense. And we should have an open and honest discussion about what how we should manage our resources and also how we can do it in a way that is, you know, the least has the least negative impact.
And, you know, Chris, yesterday Aaron and I attended an event, and we ran into quite a few young people, and they were actually really interested in what's going on politically, but one young couple told me that the big picture overwhelms them, and so I encourage them to break it down into small bite-sized pieces and get really involved at the local level. And that's what we do here in our area, is we attend all the local meetings, and that is where you will see the implementation of Agenda 21. You will see it at the local level. It becomes less a conspiracy theory and more believable and something that you can really sink your teeth into when you look at it at the local level. It really is in progress.
Yeah. Absolutely, and you're exactly right. They implement it through the smaller, you know, state and local governments, and then the bureaucracies. Almost all of them have been infiltrated to some degree in making sure that this is implemented. And if we don't, if we're not aware of it, they just continue doing it, and before long, it'll be too late to reverse it. And so we really, you know, we had to pay attention.
Do you see all the sustainable, whatchamacallit? I mean, are your rules labeled with those same buzzwords?
Yeah, sustainable development and all that. Yeah, we're, that's catchwords that they use that sound good. And again, you know, it really isn't that bad if you do it right. But, some of the stuff is really extreme and you don't want to do it. But some of the things, if you implement it in the right way, could have some great benefits for society and the resources. You know, and we just need to have that discussion, because just like with Democrats and Republicans, we agree on a lot of the same things. It's how we go about implementing them or getting what we want that is the question.
Are you seeing the massive regulation with like air and water control in your state? Not so much, you know, in the fishing type industry, but you know, back at your house, are they after your septic tank and your well and those kinds of things?
Yeah, to some extent. I don't think we have it quite as bad as y'all do in California. I think they
I don't
really
think anybody has it as bad.
There.
Yeah, we're trying to lead the way to clean up all the air in the whole universe by destroying the business in California.
We are the canary in the mine shaft, America.
Yes, that's true.
And if you're lucky, that all of our policies and regulations will bleed into other states, and you too can get record high levels of unemployment and poverty and whatever else.
Yeah.
Something to look forward to.
Yeah, isn't that awesome?
And you'll have us to thank for it, California.
Well, it's funny because as they, last week we did a program on CARB, the California Air Resources Board, and the type of agenda that they have set for us beginning part of January, we're seeing one out of every five business go out of state. Well, that's terrific. I'm sure that won't affect anybody's job. So the guy we had last week, he calls it the California's arbitrary rules for bankruptcy.
That sounds good.
Yeah, which seemed kind of fitting. But so for those of you who missed that program, actually, somehow we made that a really hilarious program. It sounds really dismal, but I don't know. We laughed like jackals all the way through the thing.
Did.
I think it was nervous laughter.
And the ludicracy of so many. The ludicracy.
Is that lunacy and
it's ludicrous with a Y.
I don't think you can have ludicracy.
Bob, I just made up a word.
Let's go to the dictionary line.
Bob, can we say that word on the air?
Yes, you can okay. Say ludicracy, ludicrositude, whatever you like.
Ludicrositude, I like that.
My point being, that's why we were laughing so much, because there comes a point where you have to make fun of this stuff. It's the only way you can stay sane. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, you can't be too serious all the time. You got to laugh. And, you know, we still are truly blessed here in America. And with Thanksgiving coming up, people realize, you know, that we are blessed with a free nation still. Yeah, and we would need to make sure that we do what we can to protect our freedoms from the domestic enemies within that would take those freedoms from us and transform this nation. Yeah, the brave men and women in the military, they put their life on the line to defend our freedom against the foreign enemies. Mm-hmm. And it's our duty to God and country to pay a little bit of attention and really stand up and do what we need to keep from losing that freedom that God gave us.
Thank you for that.
Exactly.
Well said.
For those folks that that think that the domestic enemy, because we had a bunch of sheriffs. If you go to supportruralamerica.com, you'll see the sheriff's videos right there on the front page. And, you know, when people, a lot of people heard that, we saw it in our local newspaper. We saw articles and blogs and things that came up that he was inciting violence because he was talking about defending the citizens in his county from all enemies, foreign and domestic. And
he was following the Constitution.
And, yeah, and as based in the Constitution, and they said that that was inciting violence. And I thought...
That would be our local newspaper stating that fact.
I thought, well, that's a kind of a push. How do you, on your side of the country, you know, when you talk about domestic enemies, what's kind of enemy number one that you see in your area?
I guess it had to come down to all forms of bureaucracy. You know, they really do get the power to rule us with an iron fist and the full weight of the federal government behind them, yet they answer to no one, really. You know, they're supposed to answer to our state legislatures or the Congress. But once they empower that bureaucracy, they pretty well wash their hands of it. And they'll come back every once in a while and give them another mandate and some more power. And they write things in the middle of those laws, like and one of the laws the National Marine Fisheries Service did was they're allowed to take unspecified drastic action against the American people to stop them from catching a red snapper. And that's their exact wording, unspecified drastic action. I asked them what that meant. You know, could they do whatever they wanted to stop it? And they said, yeah, you know, we can. You know, they can shoot you to stop you from catching that fish. And these are unelected bureaucrats that write these laws. And again, they're enforced through the barrel of a gun. You know, threats of fines, seizures of your private property, and imprisonment. And in many cases, they violate your Fourth Amendment constitutional rights as they illegally search your private property for illegal fish or different things, you know, depending on what bureaucracy it is that's trying to control you.
Wow.
And then when you say something about it, if you don't have the money to go ahead and hire a good lawyer, and if you can't get a good one, there's no point in doing it, and taking it on all the way up to the Supreme Court. And you just are basically left powerless, and you had to follow their rules.
And, of course, they use our tax dollars for their lawyers that they use against you, but you can't afford to buy your own.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
Yeah,
the environmental loop, the irony of it all.
If you went and fought a case, though, with a bad lawyer and you lost, then you've set a precedent there that can do more harm than if you just left it alone until you could find the good lawyer.
Yeah.
Because once it's established that they can legally do these things to you, that opens the floodgate for them to continue doing it.
Yeah, that's an excellent point.
Mm-hmm.
I know we have a couple people who wanted to call in, and they needed us to give them the phone number. I'm getting getting smoke signals in here. The phone number to call in is 530-605-4567, and we have 15 minutes left, so you better not wait till the last two, or we're going to ignore you, because it's too stressful. So we're going to take a quick break so we can come back, so by the time they have dialed the secret phone number 530-605-4567, they will be on the line, and we'll be ready to have them ask their question of Chris McCafferty. So you're listening to KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
Hear us streaming 24/7 on KCNR1460.com.
With these changes in latitude, changes in attitudes, nothing remains quite the same. With all of my running and all of my cunning, if I couldn't laugh, I just would go insane. If we couldn't laugh, we just would go insane.
Justification, thank you, Bob.
Our theme song.
Go away.
It also qualifies as a boating song.
There you go. Okay, last 10 minutes.
That's true, because they talked about latitude, huh?
Last 10 minutes of We the People Radio. Hey, don't forget, tonight, Sovereign Mind, 6 o'clock, they'll be talking to the editor of the Record Searchlight. Tomorrow on Carl and Linda Bott's show, Brad Dacus from the Pacific Justice Institute. Tune into both shows.
Yeah, and Chris, just so you know, we had a call in the middle of the break there from Lillian. She wants to figure out how to get a copy of the program on CD. So I have Lillian's phone number. I'll call her after the show. So you are reaching people. And I got a private message that Mary Wilson from over there in Crescent City on she deals with
they're on the coast.
Yeah, she actually owns the aquarium there in Crescent City, Ocean World. So, and her husband is the sheriff. So she was wanting the phone number. So she'll either call in or perhaps email you. But I bet she had some input from the West Coast, actually on the ocean there, since we're inland.
Hey,
you know.
Can I give out my email address?
Please give it out twice.
Yeah, it's freefish7@hotmail.com. That's freefish7@hotmail.com. And like I mentioned before, I want people to copy the comments that I've been writing and submitting. So if you wanted to see what I've been doing, email me and I'll send you some copies of them. And hopefully the more people that read it and are aware and they send it on to their legislatures, and it'll make a difference.
Yeah, no point in reinventing the wheel.
Chris, is there any history behind the name Free Fish 7?
Well, I had to come up with something that wasn't already taken for a website.
Great place to start.
I thought maybe it was like Free the Chicago 7 or something.
Well, the first trip I went fishing offshore, we caught 777 pounds of fish. And then when I stopped and filled the boat up, gas tank on my truck, and the gas was cheap, it took $7.77 when the pump shut off and the tank was full. And that same day after we caught 777 pounds of fish. So, in addition to it being the Lord's number, it's my good luck number as well.
That's fun.
Nice.
So, freefish7.com or freefish7@hotmail.com. That's easy. Mm-hmm. Good thinking. Yeah.
And that's the other thing. I wanted it to be easy, something people could remember.
Yeah, because if you can't spell free and fish, you shouldn't be on email.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably not going to be able to copy the comments and send them if you can't.
Spell check was made for you.
Well, that's awesome. And you did send me some public comments and a few other things that we'll be adding to the webpage. And just so people know, if in fact you are a computer user and you can go to wethepeopleradio.us, this show will archive on there so people can listen to it any old time of day. I have folks say, well, I'm at church from 8 to 10. It's, I always tell them to pray for us because we're busy goofing off. We go to church afterward, to get all that. Get all that sin behind us. But, if people go there by about noon, maybe 1 o'clock, the archive is already on there. They can email that page to their friends, and you can listen, and we archive all of our shows. So you got two programs there. I'll make sure I've got both of them, and a calendar tomorrow night so somebody can win it, which will be super fun. And,
don't forget to check out Chris's website and order a calendar for yourself.
Yeah, and the postcard thing, we've got to get with the program on the postcard thing. I think that's a fun idea, and your postcards are gorgeous, and they have wonderful messages on them. So if you have legislation that you're pushing there and you want us to write, we do send letters to Doc Hastings there at the Natural Resources Committee because he's also in charge of the removal of the dams out here. That's another hot topic at our end of the world. But he wouldn't be surprised to see our names. Mm-hmm. So it'd be cool for us to send postcards from our side of the country for you. So you've got to keep us posted. We don't always hear your news.
Yeah, well, Elizabeth said she ordered some calendars. I'll throw some in there with her.
Super easy.
Yeah, we will have to get with that because we've got a lot of different groups out here, working on all these natural resource issues. And, sometimes that's why I thought this program was so well-timed because it seems like, okay, we're losing that fight, we're losing that fight. Like, let's talk to somebody who's getting somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that you can...
It does feel good to win a fight every once in a while.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you can't win them if you're not out there battling all the time. It really does take a commitment.
It's a whole lot harder than people might think, I thought it would be pretty simple to go to the bureaucracy, point out some of the problems, offer a few solutions, get them implemented, and I just go back fishing.
You thought it would be easy if you just applied common sense?
What are you, a normal person?
Yeah, I quickly found out that was not the case.
Yeah, they weren't excited to hear from you because have the error of their ways pointed out?
No, they're polite when they go to the meetings, but they look at you with contempt when you're trying to talk, and you're not welcome. It's just the formality that they had to go through. And we've actually had an advisory panel member resign, saying that their meetings are nothing more than consensus meetings. They already know what they're going to do before they show up. The public just is required by law to be allowed to give 3 minutes worth of public comment. And after that, they're going to do what they want anyway.
Wow. Well, you know, I had an idea here recently that we should start holding our own public meetings. And we have a senator and an assemblyman here who are willing to back the people on that. So if we hold our own meetings, that would be the environmentalists and the bureaucrats who are relegated to the three-minute time frame. I thought it'd be fun to do it the other way around.
Well, yeah, and you bring in all of the people that actually are stewards of the land, that actually they are farmers, ranchers, and fishermen by trade and generational, and they know what they're doing, and they bring their own science to the table, and it's proven. So you just turn the tables around. What a great idea.
Yeah, you ought to ask your congressman that you've been working with if he'd be willing to sponsor some public meetings, and you create the input.
And yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, and invite the agencies to come and comment. I thought, you know, it's sometimes it's not even the
legislative. We have to take our power back.
Yeah, it's not even the legislative winning.
Yeah,
it's,
take our power back.
I always
back.
Think about coaching. You know, I used to coach little kids sports all the time, you know, and you always get the Bad News Bears team, you know, and there's no chance they're going to win. So, you know, you got to kind of promote the pizza party afterward because that's all they're going to get out of it. But, you know, they're happy to play and they're done, and you just, you know, don't make a big deal out of it. Because, see, I'm old, and so I coached in the time period where you had winners and losers. And they did let the other team.
You mean you actually kept score?
Oh, yeah. We kept score, and they let them run it, you know, the baseball game up, you know, 30-1. you had to have quite a pizza party after one of those.
And the tables have turned too much in the favor of the government, where these unelected bureaucrats are calling the shots and setting the rules and deciding what the game is going to be and how it's played. And they work for us. They're funded by us. So we have to take our power back.
Yeah,
the only way we can do that is unite. Just like the unions have power because they have numbers, we the people have power in numbers if we'll stand united behind each other's freedoms. Because they'll pick on one small user group, take that group's freedom because the rest of the people don't care if it doesn't directly affect them.
Yeah, no
kidding. They count on the apathy of the American people to allow them to get away with what they're
doing. But eventually they'll come for you.
Absolutely they will.
Well, We've got a couple minutes.
4 minutes.
We got 4 minutes. Oh my gosh, that's like an eternity in radio land. You know what? Can you, in a couple of minutes, for the folks that maybe tuned in late and missed the very beginning, can you give them a snapshot of what things used to look like and where things sit now for you in the Atlantic commercial fishing? You know, where you were and where you've come?
Yeah, well, I've been a commercial fisherman on the East Coast out of North Carolina since I was 11 years old to some degree, and I worked my way up to owning and operating my own snapper grouper boat. I was living the American dream until the government came to help me, and then they created so much waste in my fishery that I decided I was being forced to throw back more than I was allowed to sell, even though many of those fish were just slowly dying and going to waste. So I tied my boat to the dock last year. I made a calendar from some of the pictures that I've taken while working around the water. And I use it as a way to travel the southeast, talking to people about how our fisheries are being mismanaged, give speeches wherever I can, and you know, try to offer solutions that would allow for a responsible harvest of our resources with very little waste, and give the people a simple, easy way to show support for what I'm saying. And it's starting to work. So I want to encourage people to know that it's not hopeless. We really do have power in numbers. And if we stand together, we can take our country back. We don't have to wait for the next election. And we vote with our money. We vote with our ideas. We go out there and we shop locally. We can help our economies. And we really need to stand together because they are going to take our freedom one at a time, one group at a time, a small little minority group. They'll attack them and move on to your freedom. I guarantee you they will come after one that you care about sooner or later. And if you stand with me to defend this freedom that I love, I will stand with you to defend the freedom you love when they come to take it from you.
Very
you got my
well
email
put.
Address, my website address, contact me. I'll do it.
Freefish7.com. That is very well said. And you guys have actually opened up some of your fishing as a result of all of this activity and people coming together.
Yes, ma'am.
That is.
Yep, it really does work when we stand together.
That is fantastic.
I hope people go there and read my public comments. I've written them in a way that it informs people about what has happened and what we need to do and how they're just ignoring what we say and picking and choosing what they want to enforce. So I wanted it to be informative but also be addressed to the council. So it's not, you know, there's some terms and stuff. If you have questions about them, send me some questions. I'll be happy to answer them. I even have a blog on my website on the fishery discussion page where you can go there and ask me questions and I'll answer them. And it's good for me to have questions because then I find answers that I may not have even looked into before.
That's very cool. We're getting a lot of comments on the chat room. You know, we need more people like him. Big hurrah! So you've inspired folks today to keep up the fight. I guess maybe it boomerangs back and forth, you know, between the coastlines. You're having some success out there, so maybe we're due.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the story we're promoting. So I guess that's the only choice we have. Bob, did you have a...
I was just going to remind listeners to be sure to go to the Natural Arts section on the Save Fish 7 website and check out those calendars.
No, they're just absolutely extraordinary.
That's right. It's called Natural Art. And it's fantastic.
In addition to the calendars, you can get matted prints.
Yeah, and they're $20 for a matted print. If you wanted to get one of those, any of the pictures you see on there, I can do those. And if you had a request for something in particular, I could send you some pictures to pick from, and I'll
put
them on the website.
They're gorgeous.
I've taken tons of them.
Thanks again, Chris.
And the natural art thing.
We'll have you on again.
Okay, yeah, well, thank you. Anytime.
Thanks a lot, Chris. Somebody wants to clone you. I guess that's a good thing to go out on.
We need one out here on the left coast.
Exactly. Thank you so much. Tune in next week to We the People Radio. You're listening to KCNR 1460 AM. Thanks a lot, folks.